I have one chosen. I'm going to stick with that, and the rest of these can choose one apiece then. How about that? Grand job. We'll start with prayer first of all. Well, would you lead us?
Oh, sorry. Hold on.
Thank you for this night, Lord, and thank you for bringing us help safely to church, Lord. For all the people that are going to church tonight, Lord, let them make sure that they receive the gospel, Lord, especially the local churches that you may talk some sense to them, to Lord, and bring them around to your way of thinking, Lord. Your way of thinking is the only way to go, Lord. And Lord, pray for the people who come back in tonight, Lord, pray for them, give them the ministry, Lord, and give them the message, Lord, pray for the McMahon family, especially, Lord, save every soul in that household, Lord, and save them. And bring them around, Lord. And pray for all the Christian organizations throughout this world, Lord, and the people we support, Lord. We'll bring them, especially now, Lord, and for the incoming week and forever, Lord. And we help the Eastern National Bedouins, Kitcher Schools, Christian Institute, and all organizations, Lord, and other people, Lord. Give them the Spirit, Lord, to reach out to those that are lost, Lord, and tell them about the glorious salvation that Christ purchased on the cross for our sins, Lord. Pray for our world, Lord, pray for world leaders, pray for Donald Trump and Boris Johnson, all leaders, Lord, and put some sense into them, Lord, and Lord, bring scholarly laws to their land, Lord, and Lord, that there may be a revival, Lord, and see our souls mightily, Lord. Pray for the Jews of Jerusalem, Lord, and especially Israel, Lord, and for the world, Lord, save them also, Lord, send messengers to tell them about Christ, Lord, and give peace to Jerusalem, especially, Lord. Bless us this night, give Christians a touch of the Spirit, Lord, may teach the gospel and sound you, Lord. To us, Lord, that we may learn more about thee, Lord, and know more about thee in our lives, Lord, that we may do everything that may please thee. Bless us and give us a merit, the service be accepted on your side. For Jesus Christ, again, amen.
Amen. Hymn number 377 is where we'll start. Fastest finger first for the next hymn, or fastest voice first.
Do you know 180?
The number sounds familiar.
There's a lot of
Jesus. Do, but there's no music. We can, yep. Are you reading one?
Yeah.
Turn tonight to the Acts chapter 28. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the pressing rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffers not to live." And they shook off the beast unto the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked at when he should have swollen or fallen down desolately. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. It came to pass that the father Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hand on him and healed him. And when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. He also honoured us with many honours, and when we departed, they needed us with such things as were necessary. And after 3 months, we departed in the ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we carried there 3 days, and from thence we faced the compass and came to Regillium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren, and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Epiphorum and the 3 taverns. And when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoner to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who when they had examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had ought to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, We neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we decided to speak, to hear of thee, that thou thinkest what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him unto his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. And some believed on things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias, the prophet, unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people, and say, Hearing, ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and saying, Ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and the ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Amen.
Just a wee reminder to make sure that you get one of the wee prayer lists, and don't forget to, even with the 5 of us that are here, it'd be nice to know that you were being prayed with 5 times this coming in week. And that's only if you were to look over it and pray once. Please do. Please do. The prayer request that's foremost in my mind is for Kate Cairns. Her husband died yesterday. He will be buried on Tuesday. So I would appreciate prayers for me as we go to minister to the Cairns family, and of course prayers for the Cairns family as well. Please do pray for each other, for Norman, his health, for Pat and Steve, for their health, for Esther, for hers as well. I appreciate your continued prayers for myself as well. I am doing an awful lot better, still a ways to go yet, but an awful lot better than what I was. There's some work, all being well, to be done on the church. Please do pray about that. We're still waiting for the Charities Commission to come back to us regarding the purchase of the church land, so please do remember that. There is an acquaintance of the church, a young lady by the name of Joanne, who came a few times and visited with us here and at our house. She is actually in the UK expecting a baby. She's over with her dad from Taiwan, there you go, from Taiwan, so please do pray for them. And of course, please pray for Ling and Frank. And we already had Carol and John and Stephen's name mentioned. Please remember them as well. I think that's about that. Please do pray for America. They are going to have a wonderful time as they try and get a conservative Roman Catholic lady, mother of 7 children, into the Supreme Court justice. And if this happens, the very, very liberal people that are in government know that just about every liberal court decision that comes through will be knocked in the head, and just about every conservative court decision that comes through will be upheld. So there's a lot going on, and would ask that you would pray for them and for wisdom for Donald Trump as he leads the country, and likewise for our very own Boris. Not your Boris, but Boris Johnson, not Boris the Cat, although I think of late I maybe would trust Boris the Cat more than I would trust Boris Johnson. Please do pray for him things are not going well in this country and in many other countries, so we really should be praying for all of our country's leaders, but please do pray for our own Arlene Foster as well, as they try to run our little part of the UK and their own as well. So please do remember that. I think that's about that. If you would remember Norman's hospital doctor's appointment tomorrow, he has a few blood tests and one thing and another to get done. He's just recovering. It was good to see him out, although it was maybe borderline whether he should be out or not, but it was good to see him out. Please do pray for him that he recover from whatever it was that hit him there a week and a half ago. I don't think there's anything else, is there? No. Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Christy. I will very gladly hand it all back to you again. Thank you, brother.
Another favourite. 372.
Don't know what I should burn out.
372.
I think we need more light power on here. Maybe what? Light. That's the upper light.
And some lower lights.
Amen.
Amen.
You can stand once you stand.
From the front bench.
Do you know 375?
We're in the 370s tonight. I think I do know it. 375.
Work while the dew is sparkling,
not too far from where Will was reading. We're in Acts chapter 8. Hopefully we'll get to Acts 28 soon, but and by soon I mean before the end of the year. Maybe not. Who knows? Continuing in Acts 8 from verses 9 through 25. It's a continuation of our study on characteristics of the early church and a comparison of what we are and should be. Reading through verses 25. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem, and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Amen. Topic for tonight is the priceless church. The priceless church. I'm sure you can guess that our text is verse 20. Mark, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the service this morning. Thank you for the service this evening, for the pretty good day that we have, Lord. I pray you now, Lord, that you would put your good hand upon Brother Christie and just inspire him with the words to bring to us tonight, even beyond the notes that he has made, that you would inspire him on the fly, Lord, to meet our needs this evening. I pray you, Father, that you would, as you walk up and down the Bethel Hall here, and not just here, but right the way across the world, Lord, where folks are gathered together to hear your word, that you would speak to individuals, Lord, that you would minister to them at the point of their need. Please don't be done with us, Lord. Please take and use this time to strengthen us and to comfort us and to straighten us up, Lord, to give us a shake. Lord, just put an arm around us. Please, I pray you, Lord, meet our needs this night. Let us come to your word, Lord, searching for a nugget of gold or a pearl of wisdom. You know what we need, Father, and we're here tonight to hear what you have to say to us. Bless Christy. Again, I pray the words to speak, ongoing wisdom. Protect him, Lord, I pray, and keep his thoughts upon the words that he has prepared. We love you and praise you, and we pray, Lord, for Brother Stan up in Bangor too, as he does the same this evening. And Brother Bissett, the Asquiths, the Haynes, the Foxes, Lord, the Smiths, the Snows, Lord, the Sealys, the Isaacsons, Lord, all these men, I pray you grab a hold of each and every one of us, and just, Lord, straighten us and make us what you need for us to be. And I pray that for all the brethren, Lord, not just preachers, not just ministers, but for every Christian soul. Thank you for loving us, Father. Thank you for the opportunity to become your son. Thank you for the good sense to take that opportunity. And thank you, Lord, for ministering to us, for delivering us so many times, for your patience and long suffering. to your Son Christ Jesus and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We love you and praise you. We ask this, our private prayer requests too, for comfort and for those that's just not at their best. We love you and thank you, Lord.
Our previous study took us from verse 1 and 8 right through to verse 8. In chapter 8, where we had just seen Stephen been killed, we had just seen Saul causing havoc in the church and going around hauling men and women to prison and even consenting unto their deaths and doing as much as he can to waver their faith and destroy the church. Which then leads us to the church being scattered abroad further out than the borders of Jerusalem, on to Samaria, and here we have Philip in Samaria preaching the gospel. We're introduced firstly to a man called Simon of Samaria, within Samaria, a sorcerer. Sorcery is the act of witchcraft, wizardry, fortune-telling, for example, or I think we call them mediums today as well, so engaging with spirits and the dead. So he's been doing this, he's been performing miracles. The people of Samaria have wrongly assumed that any spiritual power is of God. He has been going about, giving out that himself was some great one, verse 9 says. And it says, from the greatest even to the least of them in verse 10, says that this man is the great power of God. Mm-hmm. How sad. But if Satan can't achieve his goals through destruction, he'll certainly try deception. And this is what he's doing through Simon the sorcerer here. He's trying to get people away. Give them just enough of the gospel to think that they're okay, or enough of heavenly power or something of a sign just to think that they're okay. Mm-hmm. But not the full truth. Not the full truth. He'd been deceiving these people. We see He's probably making merchandise and has a following. Probably all the country or the city of Samaria is following him at this stage. It says, to him they had regard because of a long time he had bewitched them with their sorceries. It wasn't just a flash in the pan. This was an ongoing thing. This was from years gone by. Word had been spreading. People had been coming to see Simon's miracles, we'll call them. And they had started to believe him and follow him. But here we have Philip preaching the word of God. He came with the gospel message, with the name of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. And people start to believe. They see the authority in the words. They see it backed up with signs and miracles. And they see his faithfulness and his truthfulness. But they also see the reaction of Simon. That Simon is confounded or amazed or intrigued by what Philip was able to do. This was a man that was able to connect with demons and dark forces and spiritual wickedness. And once he sees the true light being interacted with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father, he sits up and takes notice. And the people notice that. People start to believe, it says. And we're baptized, both men and women. Mm-hmm. See, I think I said this last week, but church isn't just a man's club. It's for men, women, children. It's for all who breathe the breath of life. Mm-hmm. It says Simon himself even believed after seeing and hearing the gospel. And I'm glad that it's still the same way today, that after 2,000 odd years it still hasn't changed, that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That you hear the gospel, you repent of your sins and you shall be saved. Mm-hmm. It says that Philip was baptized as well. You see, there is some controversy that we'll get further on in this chapter, we'll get to trying to explain. But Philip continued with him. Simon continued with Philip and was baptized. You see, if Philip had a thought for one second that this faith wasn't genuine, he wouldn't have baptized them. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't have baptized them. Then we go on, and there's signs and miracles done. The word spreads back to Jerusalem that their God's doing a great work in Samaria. The Jews who look down and think less of, I was about to say, but it just didn't make sense. But who look down upon the Samaritans. You know, I think they were a mixed race and the Jews had nothing to do with them. So they want to see this for themselves. They think, what, salvation's gone or spread abroad? Further than the borders of Jerusalem, we need to see this. And they send Peter and John. And the controversy that we're getting to is, These folks hadn't received the Holy Ghost and salvation. And there is some theories, and we'll get to reading them in just a short while. So there is more theories than I have noted, but the ones that I didn't note were just completely out there and wacky, so I didn't even think they were worth mentioning. We're turning to John 3, I'm jumping ahead of myself tonight, but we're turning to John 3 and reading verse 18. You can turn or I can just find it and read it. It says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So there is, God loves the world, there's no doubt about it. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God loves the world, but man is born with a sin nature. Man is born under wickedness. Man is depraved, totally depraved through the fall of Adam and Eve. And that's passed down from generation to generation. And not only is there love of God, but also with that, there is the judgment of God for those that would reject the gospel and Jesus Christ as their Savior. So yes, there might be salvation there, but if you willingly reject it, then there is the judgment and the condemnation as the consequence. Anyway, we get back to Peter and John here, and they come down, they see that these souls, they hear the testimony that Philip gave of what was going on. They see that these souls confess to be saved, that they've been baptized, and they pray for them that they receive the Holy Ghost. They lay hands on them, and then these folks receive the Holy Ghost. The Samaritans receive the Holy Ghost. And there is, I've written these down, I can't remember them all offhand, but there is three theories that I thought that were worth noting. So one is they were never truly born again under Philip's preaching. And then when they heard the preaching of Peter and John, then they truly got born again. But looking at this portion of God's word, it wouldn't have said that they believed if they hadn't truly been born again. They did believe. They were saved at this point. From what I can see in this, they continued with Philip. They seen his works and they got baptized. They professed their faith as well through believer's baptism. Another one is they were truly born again and received the Holy Ghost at the point of conversion. But then they were filled with the Holy Ghost after the apostles came. To me, verse 16 rules that out completely. It says, "For as yet he was fallen upon none of them." They hadn't received them. So that theory suggests that, you know, there was speaking in tongues afterward. You know, there were special gifts of the Spirit given to them. I don't think that adds up. In my opinion, the most viable explanation is that God delayed the receiving of the Holy Spirit to preserve the unity of the church amongst the Jews and the Gentiles. This is, you have to think back to the customs of the day that the Jews almost hated the Samaritans. That didn't like them, didn't want anything to do with them. So then, it would have been easy for the Jews to say, that's not really God. So they needed to give a first-hand testimony to the other Jews back at Jerusalem for them to know that the Lord was working. So I believe that the Lord let the apostles see this first-hand, so that they could go back to the Jewish church and say, it's true, it's real, we witnessed it, we prayed, we laid hands on them, and they received. And they received. But also know that God gave the keys of the kingdom of heaven to the apostles. And to us as well. That we have the power, and that's God's power of salvation, to speak to souls so that they can receive it. And this is an account of that.
Mm-hmm.
So they were saved at the first, but they received the Holy Spirit after. Now, we have seen transition in the book of Acts. We have seen transition from being filled, the apostles being filled with the Holy Ghost. The next transition that we see is the gospel expanding out of Jerusalem and reaching those souls in Judea and Samaria and going and starting on its worldwide course. And this is a transition of the Jews truly accepting that salvation was come to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
Simon the sorcerer sees what went on. And he sees that through the laying on of the apostles' hands that the Holy Ghost was given to all those that had been saved. And he says, when he saw it, in verse 19 he says, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." You see, he wanted spiritual authority over everyone in the land in Samaria that day. He had it up until this point, until Philip and the apostles came preaching and souls received it. And he wanted that power and authority. He thought that the Holy Ghost was merely a power that could be bought and sold. And Peter holds back nothing, chastises him in verse 20 and onward and says, "But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." And that's a sad, sorry state that was even in such a time as the early church. This was just after Jesus had been walking and talking. Said, you know, words like, "Render unto Caesar those things which are Caesar's, but render unto God those things which are God's." And here we have the belief that the power and the privilege of God and his way can be purchased with money. But it's free. It's priceless. It's of such value that there could no amount of money in the world buy it. Mm-hmm. You ask those on their deathbed how much salvation is worth to them, and they'll tell you there's not an ounce of time you could give them extra in this world. There's not an ounce of extra breath that you could provide for them. There's not an ounce of security, of money, of extra houses, lands, gold, anything that they would give up for that assurance of salvation and for seeing those streets of gold. You ask someone who's going through the worst struggles of their life right now what salvation, what value they can put in salvation, and they would tell you there's not a pearl or price that you could give me to part with it. For that peace, for that joy, even amidst the trials and tribulations, for that help that Jesus is in the time of trouble, there's not a price that you could pay. See, Ephesians 2 and 8 tells us it's free. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Yeah. For by faith you're saved through grace. By grace through faith. But so let's just say, for an example, it says not of works, okay? Let's say we could buy it with money. How do we earn money? We earn money by works. And then, in turn, by giving money for something, that would suggest that it can be purchased by works. So the Bible is lying. If it couldn't be purchased by money, the Bible couldn't say, "Whosoever will." It could say, "Whosoever can afford." It doesn't say, "Whosoever can afford." It says, "Whosoever will. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This belief, or this action of Simon, has led to even some sects of religions today calling a certain act or deed simony. Have you ever heard of simony? It's the action of buying church privileges or positions, giving money to the priest for certain blessings or privileges, or the minister, or buying a position in the church. That's known as the sin of simony. It does happen today. Do the best that you can is the belief amongst many. There is the payment of the priest for your relatives that are in purgatory. You know, you pay him to pray for your relatives. You pay him to baptize your children so that they can enter into heaven is the belief. This is happening today in churches. You see, we believe that money is the blessing. It's not. It's not all, not the be all and end all. Of course, it's nice. We all need it to live. And being part of this church may not profit you much in this world, but it sure does set you in good stead for eternity. If there was £100 put on the cost of salvation that you could pay, there'd be some that couldn't pay it. There would be the beggars in the street who couldn't make up £100 to get to heaven. There would be those who have no family, have no friends, and are living on the breadline week by week who couldn't afford it. Mm-hmm. And that's not the salvation of a loving God who has no respect of persons. That's a God that has respect of persons and has respect of money. But Peter tells him, "Thy money perish with thee." And that suggests to me there's two things. Either that Simon truly was saved, and I believe he was. And that his heart soon went back to carnal things after he seen this
surge of power, or that he had never been saved at all. I think he was. He continued with Philip as he preached and done miracles in the land. And he was baptized. So Philip, you know, the Spirit in me beareth witness with the Spirit in you that we are the sons of God. Philip gave witness to it. But it's easy for us to turn back to our carnal minds and think that we know best. To that old pride and wisdom and knowledge that we think we have built up over the many years just to take hold. And surely if a man who had been famous in the land of Samaria, who had been the head honcho amongst all of any religion that existed in Samaria of the day, who had the tugging of the cap of the forelock, who had the highest seat in the house, to want this, that's completely understandable after you've had it so many years. But it doesn't make it right. It was still wrong. He still tried to purchase this power of God. Peter goes on to say, "Let us neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God." And you see, many of us today have right deeds in front of God. We have a right appearance in front of God in the sight of men. But it's the heart. The heart of the matter, or the matter of the heart, is what truly shows our standing with God. And we can't judge that. I can't judge your heart or your heart, and you can't judge mine. We can only judge each other's actions and look on that and say, he or she must be right. But the Holy Ghost is in there. He intercedes for us with groanings that cannot be uttered, and that means the feelings that you're in your heart that are so hard and sore that you can't express them with words. So he's feeling those infirmities, those pains, and he's going to God for you and I. So then if he can feel that, he can certainly feel the bad intentions of our heart. You know, he can see and read when we're thinking, I'll just do this for the sake of it, just to appear good. So God knows we're not fooling God. We may fool our brethren and even ourselves from time to time. But God knows. 22 tells us that even through such a reckless request that there's still forgiveness, Peter told them, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." There's still forgiveness for asking for salvation by trying to give money. And when I talk about salvation and the way of it, I think in the thief of the cross. There's no amount of money that thief had stolen that he could offer to Jesus then and there to say, give me my place in heaven. There was no amount of church attendance that he could offer up and say, I've been in church all my life. He didn't even attempt it. There was no amount of family members that could pay the cost of his sin then and there whilst he was on the cross. There was no old ladies that he could walk across the street. There was no mother that he could honor, no father that he could honor in that minute that would offer the sacrifice for his sins that could pay the price. There was no keeping holy the Sabbath day that he could do then and there. All he could do was call out to Jesus. You see, Hebrews says that the law is a schoolmaster to point us to Christ. And the law just shows us where we're wicked and where we're wrong. It's not something to live by. Yes, by all means, it will lead a good life if you can follow it. But it certainly won't get your admittance into heaven. It doesn't get you a pass, a train ticket there. It just shows your need for a Savior. Peter says, and he makes a judgment call. He says, you're bitter, aren't you? Because we've come in and we've stolen your thunder. We've come in and the people have heard the words of God and they have believed in it and they're joining the church. And this is causing you to be in chains or in bond of your iniquity. And Simon asked him to pray for him. He says, you're right, pray for me. I'm in the wrong here. And the things that you've spoken, pray that they don't come upon me at all. It goes on then, finishing in verse 25, it says, when they had testified of what had just happened and all that the Lord had done, and they preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem. and they had preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. This was just the start of the gospel, spreading throughout all the world, and here we have it today because Philip went down into Samaria. But God's ways are not always our ways. If we had thought for one second that persecution, if we had been in the midst of persecution, our first thought wouldn't be God's going to use this to spread the gospel across the globe. It would just be, woe is me, why is this such a hard time? And thinking personally, and I read this recently, you know, if I had been there when Joseph was in that pit and about to be sold into slavery, I probably would have offered him a helping hand. If I had been there in the prison cells with Joseph, I probably would have tried to free him. But that would have robbed some souls of the food that Joseph was there, sent to store up, and they would have died of starvation. If I had been with David in those days, I probably would have tried to get him escaped from the spears that Saul was firing at him and going after him. I probably would have took him from the caves that he was hiding out in. But that would have robbed the Israelites of a God-hearted king. And if I was certainly there in Jesus' day, standing here today and having hindsight, I probably would have tried to take him off the cross. Mm-hmm. Tried to stop some of his suffering, and that would have robbed hundreds and thousands of souls of eternal salvation. Mm-hmm. You see, God has a purpose for your pain, Christian. And when God's purpose comes to pass, there is no price that we would ever put in that. Although the process of going through there and getting there, it might be heartbreaking, it might be tiring, it might be just draining all the strength that you have. But when the glory of God's revealed, when the will of God comes to pass, then we truly say it was worth it all. It was worth it all. Jesus is coming soon. I know that Christians are suffering. There's a lot of silent battles going on. But hang in there. Hang in there. I know the world seems to be prospering at the minute and everyone out there, you know, getting their own way and having it like they want it and changing the world based on their view. But this isn't our home. Heaven is our home. Heaven's not for sale. It's for free. It's for free. And it's open to anyone and everyone. And I wouldn't trade it for all the gold or silver that there is. The value of gold and silver fluctuates. There is no value that we can put on. The assurance of our salvation and the promise we have to stand on those golden shores. Amen. It's priceless to be part of this church, and I don't mean Bethel Baptist Church. I mean the called out assembly of believers. It's priceless. Amen. Anyone got a closing? Well, Mark, have you got your closing hymn? It's your choice.
It's my turn. What about
73? 73. Let's stand as we sing.
Some glorious morning sorrow will cease. Some glorious morning all will be peace. Heartaches all ended, school days all done. Heaven will open, Jesus will come. Some golden day break, Jesus will come. Some golden day break, battles all won. He'll shine the victory, break through the blue. Some golden day break for me, for sad hearts will gladden, all shall be bright. Goodbye forever to changed in a moment, like him to be. O glorious daybreak, Jesus I'll see. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. He'll shine the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me, for you. Oh, what a meeting there in the skies. No tears nor crying shall dim our eyes. Loved ones united eternally. Oh, what a daybreak that morn will be. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. He'll shine the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me, for you.
Man, what could a beggar give you to share your house with him? There's nothing I don't think I would take off a beggar. There's nothing that they could offer me that would be of value to me. And just like that, there's nothing that we can offer God, but he counted us as valuable as the life of his son, shed his only begotten, the blood of the only begotten son on Calvary's cross. And Walt, would you close us in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being in our presence tonight, Lord. Lord, we would do things upon your side, Lord. And on our duty, Lord. Lord, if each and every head is covered, Lord, bless each and every household is represented, Lord. And we cry for you to next week, the words that are spoken tonight by Christy and throughout the hymns and the service, Lord. Grateful our absent brethren, Lord, grateful them also, Lord. Be a present unto them, Lord, and bless them and keep them, Lord. Mr. Alton, Mr. Steve, Pat, Lord, my mom, families, Esther, woman also, morning, Sandy, Lord, help them and provide for them also, Lord, as well, Lord. Remember, Sammy's living with Kate, Lord. You have Kate, Lord, and use that honestly, Lord, that you may use that to reach out to her, Lord, and comfort her, Lord, and provide for her, Lord, and give her her need, Lord, and provide her need as she needs it now, Lord. Not what we think that she has, but what she truly needs, Lord, and that's salvation, Lord. But also, Lord, help her her grieving process, Lord, of Sam as well, Lord. And with all the grieving souls throughout the world, Lord, you may use comfort them, Lord, and only you can give comfort, Lord, and see your souls also, Lord. With us tonight, Lord, depart in safety, Lord, and by the next point of time at your presence, Lord. Bring us to a new week, Lord, and be at our side, Lord. We may fight your corner, Lord. Give us strength to do everything to do to please thee. For I wonder, for I pray, for Jesus Christ, again. Amen.
Amen. Amen.